Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Good Monday morning after a devastating weekend of tornadoes.
And more severe weather on the way. It's April 29th. Good morning. This is Today. Direct hit. States of emergency declared after dozens of tornadoes tear a path of destruction through the Midwest and South.
All of downtown Sulphur is destroyed.
At least four people killed, hundreds injured. Crews now searching through mountains of debris for survivors. We're live on the ground, and Al's tracking the ongoing risk for even more storms. Campus chaos.
Back up!
Tension over the war in Gaza spreading to more colleges all across the U.S. Hundreds arrested at protests over the weekend. And breaking overnight, the Secretary of State arriving in the Middle East, pushing for a ceasefire and hostage deal. The very latest straight ahead. Center stage, the campaign trail comes to Washington at the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner. The president taking his shots against Donald Trump.
Age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old.
And getting a few in return.
It's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying.
This morning, Trump's reaction as he returns to the campaign trail and the courtroom. Royal milestones. King Charles returns to public duties while his cancer treatment goes on. Prince William and Princess Kate celebrating their anniversary today as she undergoes the fight of her life. We're live at Buckingham Palace. All that plus Super Idea. The years-long push by fans to make the Super Bowl part of a long holiday weekend, now backed by the NFL. Inside the big change the league is now considering. And special delivery, another set of pandas is set to take the U.S. by storm, and we've got your first look at the adorable new additions today, Monday, April 29th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today. With Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today. It's Monday morning. So glad you are starting your week with us.
Yeah, good to see you guys this morning.
We've got a lot to get to, including that outbreak of devastating tornadoes over the weekend. This is a live look this morning at Sulphur, Oklahoma. It's dark there, but you can see the downtown area decimated after multiple tornadoes reduced buildings there to rubble.
More than 120 twisters were reported across the region over the weekend. At least five people were killed, about 100 others hurt.
And as mentioned, there is more severe weather on the way. Heavy rain bringing extreme flooding to a large swath of the country. Al's got his full forecast. We'll get right to him in a moment. But first, NBC's Jesse Kirsch, who joins us from hard-hit Sulphur this morning. Hi, Jesse. Good morning to you.
Savannah and Hoda, good morning to you as well. Unfortunately, this weekend's weather has turned deadly. Authorities in Iowa confirming one person died there, and officials here in Oklahoma say four people died in this state, including an infant. One of the deaths was here in Sulphur, and you can see some of the aftermath. This is a utility pole tipped over. You can see it's in pieces. We've got mangled wire over here, and behind me, we've got windows shattered, bricks all over the ground. This morning, this community is in pieces.
Holy, oh my God.
This morning, devastation in Oklahoma.
Just be advised, all of downtown Sulphur is destroyed.
Sulphur, Oklahoma, population roughly 5,000, taking a direct hit. The harrowing nighttime twister captured on camera.
Oh my God, I gotta record it.
Locals say this was the small city's historic downtown. Now, it's been reduced to rubble. Roofs are gone. Buildings destroyed. This mail truck tilting on a pile of debris.
It honestly looks like somebody just dropped a bomb on this area because it's gone.
Officials say at least 100 people are injured from relentless storms across the state.
You just can't believe the destruction.
Devastation stretching from Texas to the Midwest.
with torrential rain, tornado reports in College Station and Trinity, Texas. And at least 120 tornadoes reported across multiple states. Much of Minden, Iowa, ripped to shreds.
Here in Minden, officials say this ravaged home is in the middle of a street. It's supposed to be yards away on this foundation. And you can see it is hardly the only building badly damaged.
The community now comes together to pick up the pieces.
When something's that bad, you almost go a little bit numb. And so now it's a matter of just getting up and going forward.
Back here in Sulphur, we're looking at a clear forecast today and tomorrow, but there is marginal risk for more severe storms here on Wednesday at a time when this community clearly still has a lot of cleanup ahead. Savannah.
All right, Jesse Kirsch, thank you.
As Jesse just pointed out, this is far from over. Al, where's it headed?
Guys, unfortunately, you can see a long line from the Great Lakes all the way down into Texas, and that's really where we're looking right now, from Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, where we have severe thunderstorm watches out for heavy showers and thunderstorms. Right now, the strongest threat's going to be in the mid-morning. We're looking at a significant flooding from Houston, Texas, on into Lake Charles, Louisiana. We've got a risk of severe weather from Corpus Christi, Jackson, on into New Orleans. Then during the day today, that system moves to the east. Tomorrow, a new frontal system starts to develop. We're looking at a severe threat stretching from Minnesota to Texas. And this one area from Sioux Falls down to Kansas City, we've got the risk for 2-inch hail or more, and we can't rule out tornadoes. Then we move on into Wednesday. Another severe risk breaks out in South Central Plains. Again, that same area, Oklahoma, that Jesse was just talking about, Wichita, Kansas, a risk for more severe weather there, damaging hail. Again, tornadoes possible, strong EF2 or stronger. And we're expecting rainfall rates down through this area, down in the lower Gulf, 2 to 3 inches per hour. There could be some flooding. And then looking ahead to today, temperature-wise, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic states, summer is arriving. We could see some records with temperatures anywhere from 15 to 25 degrees above average. We're going to detail that coming up in the next half hour, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. We now move to the mounting chaos over the war in Gaza. It's spreading on college campuses here in the U.S. Protests and counter-protests intensified from coast to coast over this weekend, leading to hundreds of arrests. We have two reports. We'll start with NBC's Aaron McLaughlin, who joins us from Columbia University here in New York. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Savannah. Over the weekend, there were police crackdowns on multiple campuses nationwide, with more than 250 either arrested or detained. This morning, the pro-Palestinian protests show no signs of slowing down.
This morning, tension on college campuses growing and spreading. Pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at Virginia Tech overnight after they failed to disperse following warnings from police. The university saying it recognized that the situation had the increasing potential to become unsafe. The heated conflicts now playing out at dozens of schools nationwide, with students demanding an end to the Israel-Hamas war and that their schools divest from Israel. Over the weekend, fights breaking out at UCLA, dueling protesters clashing on campus. Police officers setting up barriers to separate the demonstrations.
I would not feel safe being on campus. It really makes me feel, even being back here, pity for the students who have to deal with this every day.
Also in Los Angeles at USC, the school's famed Trojan statue vandalized. The protests popping up from the West Coast to the Southwest, at Arizona State University to the Midwest, at Indiana University.
I never believed it would happen here in Bloomington, Indiana. It was terrifying.
And Washington University in St. Louis, where 80 were arrested this weekend. To the East Coast, at Northeastern, over 100 people were arrested, ending that encampment. At Harvard, protesters put up a Palestinian flag where an American flag would fly. And while demonstrators remain at MIT, the president wants encampments shut down.
It is creating a potential magnet for disruptive outside protesters.
And at Columbia in New York, the pro-Palestinian encampment still stands, despite the police crackdown earlier this month, which ignited campus protests nationwide. Many Jewish students across college campuses fearing for their safety.
The atmosphere that's created here, you feel threatened as a Jewish student. Allowing this to happen at college campuses is downright, it's disgusting.
Meanwhile, thousands of miles away, in an encampment in Gaza, Displaced Palestinians send a message of gratitude to the American students.
This morning, Columbia University put out a statement saying that its talks with student protesters had failed and that it would not be divesting from Israel, which was their key demand. And it's calling on the students to leave their encampment voluntarily, something which, of course, seems unlikely. Columbia's president reassuring students that there will still be a commencement, noting that many of the students missed their high school graduation because of the pandemic. Savannah.
All right, Erin McLaughlin, thank you very much.
We're also following breaking news overnight in the Middle East. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has arrived in the region to discuss ceasefire efforts in Gaza after President Biden applied new pressure in a phone call with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu. NBC's chief international correspondent Keir Simmons joins us with that part of the story. Hey, Keir, good morning.
Hoda, good morning to you. And amid intense negotiations here in Saudi Arabia and across the region, Secretary Blinken speaking here a short time ago, describing Israel's offer to Hamas as extraordinarily generous and saying a deal between Saudi Arabia, the US and Israel is potentially very close to completion. This morning, Blinken in Saudi Arabia, with a deal over the war in Gaza and release of hostages on a knife edge. Hamas releasing a second hostage video in less than a week, including 64-year-old American Israeli Keith Siegel. His niece holding on to hope.
I think that now is the moment. I think I have faith that we can do a deal now.
Siegel, one of five Americans, still believed to be held in Gaza. Israel's army is poised to launch an assault on Rafah in Gaza, now home to more than a million Palestinians. The White House says President Biden reiterated his clear position on Rafah during a call with Israel's prime minister. Within hours, Netanyahu's office declaring no compromise on its war objectives. Hamas officials in Egypt today. Egypt's foreign minister telling CNBC's Dan Murphy a deal remains difficult and multidimensional.
Well, these are sensitive negotiations.
While here in Saudi Arabia, Secretary Blinken discussing the day after war, aiming for incentives to bring the bloodshed to an end.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas.
Meanwhile, Hoda, an Israeli official telling NBC News this morning, quote, Israel is greatly concerned the International Criminal Court may issue arrest warrants for Prime Minister Netanyahu and other Israeli officials as early as this week. Hoda, we reached out to the ICC. It declined to comment. Hoda?
All right. Keir Simmons there for us in Saudi Arabia. Keir, thank you.
All right. 12 minutes after the hour, we got Craig here. Good morning.
Hey, Savannah. Hoda, good morning. Good morning to you as well. It is going to be a big week in the presidential race. Donald Trump gearing up the campaign in several key swing states while also continuing to attend his criminal trial here in New York. Meanwhile, President Biden is now ramping up attacks on his opponent, including this weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez was in the room where it happened, as they say. Gabe, good morning to you.
Craig, good morning. President Biden has been mostly careful to avoid talking publicly about Donald Trump's legal problems. But this weekend, he took a much sharper tone as comedian-in-chief. This morning, the gloves are off in the race for the White House.
Yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old.
President Biden roasting his 2024 presidential challenger, former President Trump, at this weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
Trump fired back on social media, calling the annual dinner really bad and saying Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. The night's entertainer from Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost, did not spare the president.
The economy is kind of like you on the steps of Air Force One. It feels like it's stumbling, but there is somehow upward progress.
President Biden also took a rare swipe at Trump's legal troubles.
Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather.
It comes as Trump faces another week of his hush money trial in New York, where he's accused of falsifying business records to cover up an alleged affair with adult film star Stormy Daniels, charges he denies.
There's no case here. There's no case whatsoever. It's a disgrace.
Court proceedings resume tomorrow, but are off again on Wednesday. That's when the former president is planning a campaign swing to key battlegrounds, Wisconsin and Michigan. This morning, a new CNN poll showing Trump with a lead over President Biden. But overall, the race remains very close. Other polls, including NBC's, finding the two closer. And with President Biden leading in campaign cash, sources tell NBC News Trump met for breakfast this weekend with his former GOP rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who said he plans to help fundraise. On Friday, in an interview with Howard Stern, President Biden said for the first time that he'd be happy to debate Trump. The Presidential Debate Commission has already scheduled three debates beginning in September, but neither campaign is formally committed, Craig.
Gabe Gutierrez for us there at the White House. Gabe, thank you.
An update now from the Port of Baltimore, where a major milestone was reached yesterday. The first container ship arrived at that port since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed late last month. The cargo ship made it through the temporary channel with nearly 1,000 containers on board. That temporary channel is expected to close in the coming days, but the main channel is on track to reopen by the end of May. Mr. Roker, what you got?
Well, we're looking at this next system coming into the Pacific Northwest, but out west, really gorgeous weather, sunny, mild, very spring-like conditions. Those strong storms we were talking about getting themselves together down through the Gulf, stretching all along this front, all the way to the Great Lakes. And we're going to be looking at beautiful weather here up and down the eastern seaboard with record highs. It is going to be a gorgeous day here in the east. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Coming up, an inside look at a big week ahead for the royal family, including a hopeful milestone for King Charles. NBC's Kelly Cobier is there at Buckingham Palace. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, King Charles is getting ready to meet with the public for the first time since Easter. What doctors are saying about his health and the latest on Princess Kate coming up.
All right, Kelly, and then get ready to fall in love. A new group of giant pandas heading to the U.S. This summer, we're going to introduce you to the adorable stars in the making. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
All right, 7:30, that Billy Joel classic, Uptown Girl. Guess what? Four decades later, the music superstar is once again serenading his former wife, Christie Brinkley.
Wow,
Carson's going to have that for us. And pop star, how sweet.
I like that full circle moment. First up in this half hour, big week ahead for the royal family.
Indeed. Princess William and Princess Kate are marking their 13th wedding anniversary today, while King Charles is getting set to return to royal duties after his cancer diagnosis.
NBC's Kelly Cobier joins us now from Buckingham Palace. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. Yeah, the palace says the king's doctors are pleased with his progress. And while he has been working behind the scenes while undergoing treatment for cancer, they say he's now ready for the next step.
This morning, King Charles is preparing to return to public-facing duties nearly 3 months after his cancer diagnosis. The king is still undergoing cancer treatment, which the palace says will carry on, but he's feeling well enough to get back out in front of the public. The palace announcing King Charles and Camilla will make a joint visit to a cancer treatment center Tuesday.
They've been through such a great deal, and it's been difficult for everyone involved. But for the public, this is hugely reassuring.
The palace releasing a new photo of the king and Queen Camilla nearly 1 year since his coronation last May. But no update on the health of Princess Kate, who announced last month she's undergoing preventative cancer treatment. Their health scares bringing the king and his daughter-in-law closer. The king granting Kate a historic honor last week, the princess becoming the first royal to receive a title that recognizes outstanding achievement and contributions to public service. Kate married into the royal family 13 years ago today. The Prince and Princess of Wales are celebrating their wedding anniversary privately, releasing this picture to mark the day.
They are going through perhaps some of the most challenging periods of their married life, but we know that, you know, she really relies on William. They are a huge support to one another.
William was back at work last week, sharing jokes.
I'm going to say a joke that is Charlotte's favourite joke at the moment. Knock, knock.
Who's that?
Interrupting cow. Moo.
The proud father and his family celebrated Prince Louis's 6th birthday last week, the palace releasing this picture taken by Kate, and now getting ready for another birthday, with Princess Charlotte turning 9 on Thursday.
And we may see another picture of Princess Charlotte for her birthday later this week. Stay tuned for that. And the king, meantime, could be reunited with Prince Harry. Prince Harry is due in this country next week to mark the 10th anniversary of the Invictus Games. And we've also just heard from the Nigerian government that Prince Harry and Meghan will both be visiting that country sometime in May. Guys?
All right, Kelly Cobiea. Kelly, thank you.
Let's take a closer look at what's coming up for the royal family. Also at Buckingham Palace for us this morning, NBC News royal commentator Daisy McAndrew. Hi, Daisy. Good morning. So this is good news for King Charles, it seems.
It's definitely good news, and you can tell from the way that the palace courtiers behind me have been managing both his the publicity surrounding the king's cancer and the events that he's going to. You can tell that they really are taking a very different approach to any of his predecessors. It would have been unthinkable in years gone by that a monarch not only would have told us that he or she was suffering from cancer, but also given us these updates. And now we can see this week he'll be going to a cancer center to discuss his experience of it with people who are themselves having it. Just as a little bit of historical context, the reason you wouldn't have got that in the past is because the minute a monarch who was head of state in this country admitted to some kind of health weakness, well, there would have been coups and plots. There would have been our enemies planning to invade, and you know, we would have had wars on our hands. That's why the royal family has always had this reluctance to disclose these sorts of details.
Well, Prince William and Princess Kate, they're celebrating their 13th anniversary today. We haven't seen Princess Kate since her diagnosis. Do we know anything more about how she's doing?
You're absolutely right. The difference couldn't be more stark between the two attitudes of the two palaces, Kensington and Buckingham Palace. They have been incredibly tight-lipped all the way through Kate's poor health over the past few months. Of course, then that led to all those conspiracy theories, and now they have sort of reverted to form, and they are not giving out any more details other than to say that when the time comes, we will be given updates. But certainly that time hasn't come yet.
All right. Daisy McAndrew, thank you very much.
Just ahead, calling all bargain hunters, what you need to know about a new way to score some major discounts on everything from clothing to furniture, even electronics.
But first, big news for panda lovers. More are coming to the U.S. Jacob Soboroff is right here in 1A with the story. Hey, Jacob.
What's up, Hoda? Good morning, you guys. I bring very exciting news from the West Coast. Two new pandas on their way here from China. We will tell you when we think they'll arrive, who they are, what their names are, everything you want to know. More pictures than that, too. Stay with us.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're back, 7:39. We've got some happy news for animal lovers.
Oh, yes. Remember all those tears? Yes. Washington's beloved pandas had to go back to China last year. Well, this summer, a new pair will be heading to their new home. This time, it's the San Diego Zoo.
NBC's Jacob Soboroff here in studio with more. This is fantastic news.
Panda correspondent on the scene. What's up, you guys? Good morning. Here's the deal. San Diego Zoo officials just got back from China, where they got to visit with Yun Xuan and Xing Bao, a couple of bears expected to generate a whole lot of buzz when they finally get here this summer.
Coming soon, a very special delivery via the Panda Express. A double dose of cuteness ready to turn America upside down. The San Diego Zoo sharing the first pictures of its future sensations, Yun Chuan and Sing Bao, two giant pandas expected to arrive this summer. Zoo officials just returned from visiting the pair in their native China, describing nearly five-year-old male Yun Chuan as mild-mannered, gentle, and lovable. Sing Bao, a four-year-old female, is a witty introvert with a sweet round face and big ears.
It is such a globally beloved animal that just brings so much happiness and joy.
The highly anticipated import can't come soon enough for Americans still reeling from the return home of three giant pandas from Washington, D.C.'s Smithsonian Zoo last year.
I love them. They're so cute.
I am sad to see them go.
Panda exhibitions are more than an opportunity to marvel at these charming creatures whose population is so vulnerable to deforestation. It's a look at diplomacy in, well, in action. Richard Nixon's trip ushered in a new era of relations with China, and the historic partnership in animal conservation that first brought pandas to the nation's capital 52 years ago.
I think pandemonium is going to break out right here at the zoo.
Pandas quickly became the main attraction, with millions flooding in to see our furry friends munching bamboo, climbing trees, even body sledding.
To be able to see a giant panda in person is just such an experience. The fact that we've been able to have giant pandas here in the United States has contributed highly significantly to the preservation of the species.
But for now, the only place to see them stateside is at the Atlanta Zoo, and perhaps not for long. Their panda loan comes due at the end of the year. Whenever Yun Chuan and Sing Bao do arrive, they're expected to stay for at least a decade. Plenty of time to catch a glimpse of nature's beauty in black and white.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. So there's more.
Those pandas are going to San Diego, but there's word we're going to be getting more pandas.
That is what I'm hearing, Mr. Melvin. According to sources, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, they signed an MOU, so San Francisco might get some too, which is why I've been on the West Coast. I'm just doing panda coverage from now on.
All right. Signed an MOU.
Memorandum of Understanding. Okay. They're going to bring them out.
Oh, see?
Legal stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Well, good to see you. Happy you're here. Too. All right, Mr. Roker, I'm on a check of the weather.
Who knew the pandas had lawyers? Why? That's one tough deal. All right, let's take a look. Hey, are you ready for some summer here in the Northeast of the Great Lakes?
Yes.
Here we go. Big area of high pressure off the East Coast, pumping up this warm air anywhere from 5 to 20 degrees above average. We could see some records today. Williamsport could be retying its record at 86. Same in Wheeling. Maybe break the record in Columbus. 82 in Beckley. D.C., 91. It's going to be 85 in New York City. Salisbury, Maryland could come very close to their record tomorrow. Still nice and warm. Des Moines, you're going to be at 77 degrees. Little Rock, 83. That's 7 degrees above average. New York City, 74. Richmond, 88. And as we head on into the weekend, we're looking at very mild conditions. Upper 70s in Cleveland, low 80s in D.C., mid 80s in Charlotte, and you're looking at mid 80s in Memphis. By Friday, down to about 77, but still going to be gorgeous. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Your morning boost is on the way. But first, Kaylee Hartung's following a big development tied to a possible 3-day Super Bowl weekend. Woo! Kaylee.
Yeah, can you imagine? We've heard the pleas from football fans for years now. And now the NFL commissioner's revealing he's in favor of it too. So coming up, we'll tell you more about the idea being floated to push the biggest game of the year to a long weekend, giving all of us a big win. Stay with us.
We are back with Carson. Of course, we're also back with these comments from the NFL commissioner that have football fans in a frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, Roger Goodell is expressing interest in extending the regular season, and that would put Super Bowl Sunday potentially on a holiday weekend, something we've been asking for years, it seems. NBC's Kaylee Hartung has the details. Kaylee, tell us there's some potential truth to this.
Let's hope. It's looking good, guys. So Roger Goodell would admit that some of his toughest critics are the fans. But as he's floating this new plan that would add a regular season game to the schedule and move Super Bowl Sunday to the long President's Day weekend, it may be a win-win if the players can get on board.
After years of complaints from football fans.
We should have off the day after the Super Bowl.
It is nuts that people are expected to go back to work and just return to their normal lives after Super Bowl Sunday.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is mulling an idea that could make the Monday after the Super Bowl fall on a holiday.
That ends up on President's Day weekend.
which is a three-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off.
That switch, even suggested here on Today back in February.
I think that's a perfect idea.
Obvious.
Good solution.
You just do President's Day weekend.
Goodell's plan would keep the current 20-game total, but shorten the preseason by one game and add it to the regular schedule. Over the weekend, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow suggesting if there's an additional game, he'd like to see an added bye week too. Still, word of the potential move has fans giving kudos to the commissioner. And while some of the NFL's biggest stars have expressed support for fans getting post-Super Bowl Monday off,
just make Monday a holiday. Yeah. Don't the country should change what they're doing for the Super Bowl.
Extending the season has long been a sore point for players. In 2021, when the league added a game to the regular schedule, making for 17 matchups, the decision narrowly passed, receiving just 51% of votes from the players' union, with members expressing concern about health and safety.
They're really just saying 17 so that they can get to 18. And so that's two more opportunities for players to risk their bodies, to put their bodies on the line.
The new push comes amid an effort to eventize all things NFL. This weekend's draft broke an attendance record with nearly 800,000 fans packing downtown Detroit. Now, as Goodell signals a change to future seasons, the league's next move may further supersize the Super Bowl.
So the commissioner did not lay out a timeline for any potential changes, but the next labor contract between the league and its players comes up in 6 years. So that would at least be a time when schedules are renegotiated. But guys, here's a heads up. Super Bowl 61 will be a preview of what things could look like in 2027 with the Super Bowl here in LA. That'll actually land on President's Day weekend anyway. So okay, get excited.
Good. I mean, this year's Super Bowl is in New Orleans, so I think, come on. It's all meant to be.
Yes.
It seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and really the unofficial commissioner of the NFL is here in Mama Kelsey. So if she deems it that's how she wants it to be, then that's how it should be.
What do you think, Mrs. Kelsey? Should Monday after the Super Bowl be a holiday? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, there you go. Make it
definitely
happen.
There we go.
Done. All right, as we said, Mama Kelsey is here. Donna Kelsey will be here live for us.
Plus, working on Popstar. You know, Post Malone spent some time out in California at Stagecoach. He did a set. Maybe he took a page out of Beyonce's book. We'll tell you about how that went. Coming up.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.